نقعد في البرلمان القومي بتاع جنوب السودان. متأخرين سنة كاملة لأنو أغريمنت مضاو يوم 17 شهر 8 السنة الفاتت. الليلة يوم 15 a complete 1 year. What were we doing? ما ده كلام ساكت بتاد موخي نو أنا لو ما عملتو كده ما بعرفني لكن بيدا فقدنا كم ناس في نص. الحمد لله انه نهاردة رجعنا في العقل بتاعنا ونانو جينا غانا كيال بتاع يال بتاع اب واحد. And I believe with that spirit انا بشوف انه ما في حاجة هيجيب قدامنا وكلام ده دار نهاني فيو كمرة تعبان دينغاي مع مجموعة بتاو بتاع IO. It was a right choice from the IO leadership to select تعبان دينغاي. And all of you members of the SPLM, you all know when we lost our leader Dr. John Garang, how many days did it take us to find a successor? SPLM leadership, Gadu, and the following day, Taban John Mad, Yom Talatin, Shari Saba. Yom White, Shari Tamania, I was selected by the leadership of the SPLM to succeed John. And that was the grantee for the implementation of the CPA. I believe this time this new agreement on the resolution of the conflict in South Sudan will be implemented very smoothly. I'm sure of this. So let me now give you my word. Your Excellency, First Vice President of the Republic, Your Excellency, Vice President of the Republic, Right Honorable Speakers of the Transitional National Legislature, Honorable Chief Justice, Honorable Members of the Council of Ministers, Honorable Members of this August House, Members of the Diplomatic Corps, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, today is a great and historical day for South Sudan as we officiate the establishment of the expanded Transitional National Legislative Assembly of the Transitional Government of National Unity in fulfillment of National Legislative Assembly of the in the fulfillment of Chapter 1, Article 2 of the Agreement of the Resolution on the Resolution of the Conflict in the Republic of South Sudan. Some of you may know that the TNLA should have been established 90 days from the date of signing this agreement. Unfortunately, we failed to meet that deadline due to petty political differences and lack of cooperation that occupied much of our working relationship with the former leader of the SPLM, SPLA-IO, my brother, Dr. Riek Machar Teng, who was also the first Vice President of the Republic. At this juncture, Right Honourable Speaker and Honourable Members, allow me to congratulate those of you who are new in this August House for the confidence your party vested upon you to represent your people. Also, I would like to congratulate Honourable Anthony Lino Makana for the trust given to him by the caucus of Greater Equatoria and the larger SPLM to lead this August House as the Right Honourable Speaker. This is a very important responsibility that requires patience, tolerance, and leadership. I know that Honourable Anthony Lino Makana can do the job, and I advise him to embrace all of you without regard to the party you represent. That is the only sure way of success to build nationalism, which South Sudan badly needs. Right Honourable Speaker, Honourable Members, ladies and gentlemen, in this connection, I would like to sincerely express my thanks and appreciation to the new leadership of the SPLM, SPLA-IO, under the stewardship of Comrade Taban Dengai. For showing a new spirit of cooperation, objectivity, and commitment that has enabled us to establish this August House this 15th day of the month of August 2016. Within a short period of time after his appointment as the first Vice President of the Republic of South Sudan. This is what was lacking, and I pledge to you, my people, that I will work closely with General Taban Dengai and his colleagues in the SPLM, SPLA-IO, to implement the agreement on the resolution of conflict in South Sudan in letter and spirit, in order to rescue our country and people from the unbearable situation in which they are now in. Honourable Speaker, Honourable Members, ladies and gentlemen, when we achieved our independence after decades of a brutal liberation struggle and established South Sudan as a sovereign member state of the United Nations, that was in 2011, we had a dream of transcending conflicts and ethnic strifes, a dream of unity, economic independence, and eventual prosperity. We believed and still believe that we can escape the dreaded curse of Africa, the perpetual ethnic and tribal discord, violence, and the political instability and dysfunction which have sadly characterized so many African countries in the last 50 years. We believe we can do much better than that. We can learn from the experiences of others so that we do not repeat the mistakes that constrain so many of African leaders and led to their failure to develop their countries and deliver services to their people. I still believe in that dream. I am confident we can turn our experience and challenges into a success despite the current political instability and insecurity that some people want to make a trademark of South Sudan. لكن أنا مش برانا ياو بدينا المشاكل مشاكل ده في كل محل even advanced countries they are not stable now المجرمين في بمشي بخلو مشكلة بجاي and then people continue to live Honorable Speaker Honorable members, ladies and gentlemen, we are in the midst of a process of nation building which is difficult, and those who have not gone through such an experience may not appreciate the magnitude of our concerted efforts to build this new nation. The agreement on the resolution on agreement on resolution of conflicts in South Sudan has given us another opportunity to work together and build our country as one people. We may have different political affiliations and aspirations, but our country and people must come first and above all. This assembly is a very important institution and it has a lot to deliver in the context of the agreement on the resolution of the conflict in South Sudan. You will not achieve what the people of South Sudan expect of you if you do not work together and support its new leadership. Therefore, I call upon you all Honorable members, to tolerate each other and cooperate amongst yourselves so that you do what is expected of you in the coming months. And you have so many challenges there. Some of them were pointed out by the speaker when in his brief speech. I say this to all of us, including those who unfortunately choose not to be here today, that we made mistakes in the past 5 years since our independence, costly mistakes that could have been avoided if we did things differently. Now we have learned from those mistakes, and we must stand resolute and do our best to correct them. Therefore, today, on this historical occasion, I want to set out some ideas which we have been deliberating on and thinking about for weeks, if not months. These are ideas we believe will mitigate our plight, change our course, and take us into a brighter future. One, we need a new comprehensive national policy, one that I hope will lay solid foundations for both the immediate and distant future. First and foremost, let me critically clear and emphasize to our people and to the world the transitional government of national unity in South Sudan is committed to the peace process and its implementation We are aware that the implementation was imperfect and flawed in some aspects. There are no ifs, buts, or qualifications. Our commitment is our word, and it is rock solid. Two, we are fully committed to the peace agreement of August 2015 and its continued implementation. I call on all parties and opposition groups to be part of this most cherished commitment. This is our country. We have built it from scratch after a prolonged, bloody, and heroic struggle. Let us work together to keep it together, to preserve its present and guarantee its future. Honorable Speaker and honorable members, ladies and gentlemen, the road to prosperity should be paved with unity, not with divisions, but with goodwill and hard work, not endless futile strifes. In respect to international involvement and intervention, there are few things that need to be explained precisely. South Sudan is not instinctively or automatically against IGAD and UN involvement in this agreement. We welcome any assistance. We are attentive to advice, but assistance requires dialogue. It should not turn into an imposition that becomes an intervention. May I repeat? We welcome assistance. We are attentive to advice, but assistance requires dialogue. It should not turn into an imposition that becomes an intervention, in which our sovereignty is compromised and our ability to govern effectively diminishes rather than increases. More and better could and should be achieved through consultation and dialogue. South Sudan has no regional enemies. The UN role is no doubt critical, and the support and friendship of the US is invaluable to us. US and President Obama stood by us before, during, and after our independence, and I hope and pray that the U.S. will remain our ally and great friend. It is true that Tigono have very serious concerns about the decisions taken by IGAD in its communique of the 5th of August 2016 and on the renewed unanimous mandate based on the proposal advanced by the United States of America, which was adopted last Friday, the 12th, August 2016, by the United Nations Security Council. But we will discuss the details with those of UNMISS, the UN, and its partners to find the best way of implementing and achieving our mutual interests. Already there are people who are accusing the Tigono of refusing and fighting the UN. I want to confirm on this great day that this is not an accurate appraisal of our position. The Tigono has not met to deliberate on the final position. Deliberations will come later on. Final position taken by the UN Security Council. If there are voices outside there expressing their view on the subject, these are individuals. Who do not necessarily represent the Tigono and have certainly not been mandated to speak on behalf of the transitional government of national unity. Indeed, we need to be engaged in a discourse and exchange ideas on what is the best way forward, rather than be presented with the fait accompli from outsiders. This is a recipe for a weakened and diminished South Sudan that will sink into despair. They may mean well, and I believe they have good intentions, but the consequences of hasty and imposed decisions may be dire. For good intentions are not necessarily always reflected by decisions made thereon. The transition from liberation struggle to statehood exposed a gap in military-civil relations. Our military is yet to be fully indoctrinated in line with the duties of the military in peacetime and within the context of a fully pledged independent democratic state where the military is completely subordinated to the authority of a civilian government. In addition, we still have to achieve military uniformity. Thus, military-civilian relations will have to be brought to maturity. We will introduce broad reforms on how the military is structured and functions. This reform process will go into effect by January 2017. Honorable Speaker, honorable members, ladies and gentlemen, there have been allegations and reports of various cases of sexual assault. This is a very serious matter. I would like to unequivocally stress that we still show zero tolerance. We will show zero tolerance towards such incidences. We have already begun an initial investigation, and we are reviewing medical reports and intend to prosecute those who will be found involved in these crimes. On another pressing and very disconcerting issue, we will appoint a commission of inquiry to investigate the circumstances causes and culprits responsible for food and medical supply theft in the aftermath of the July events. This is an acceptable crime against the people, individually and collectively affecting entire communities. To achieve all this and implement these plans, I believe we need a renewed mandate and trust from the people. I will therefore consult with other political leaders and pursue our transitional constitution provisions in order to reach a general consent on expediting the electoral process. Taban azaman buka tawil betar elections kan mafru namchi elections men 2015 asa we are still moving forward, nobody knows yumkan fi white hand bu gombe hangover betaw and then yadrup talga we go lu amol inglab dane and then the thing will be pushed back again. We'll consult with political parties and see how in our constitution how we can expedite all these processes so that, you know, people go for elections. These are major steps comprising a new comprehensive policy charting a course for a better future. As part of this commitment, I pledge that the transitional national government will continue to function, be inclusive, and avoid any and all forms of political exclusion. Because of the transitional and temporary nature of the unity government, we do not have a formal opposition, except such opposition as will be dictated by our own individual conscience on some issues we may differ on. We'll have no doubt, ladies and gentlemen, that I expect and welcome an opposition. This is because it is an integral part of the spirit and substance of democracy. When you are a democratic country, you must have opposition, and I think we were having it here. This is because it is an integral part of the spirit and substance of democracy, and it is real. It is real democracy that we have always struggled to establish in our country. Let me reiterate, in an effort to work toward reconciliation, we will establish an official commission of inquiry to fact find and investigate the cases, the causes, context, and immediate reasons for the outbreak of violence last July. Taban last July kula kumarifinu. It happened in the state house. It was nothing rather than, you know, a military takeover, although it ended that way, but it was planned so. So I said we'll establish an official commission of inquiry to fact find and investigate the causes, context, and immediate reasons for the outbreak of violence last July. A former judge will head this commission, and its members will be carefully selected mainly on the criteria of objectivity and impartiality. My office will ensure that the commission has unhindered access to information. I invite you and Secretary General Ban Ki-moon and IGAD countries to appoint a representative to be part of the commission. Yani IGAD countries, why mumkin Egypt is all betaw, Ban Ki-moon Egypt is all betaw the UN. Furthermore, I understand the concerns regarding the safety and well-being of NGO staffs, aid and medical agencies, and displaced South Sudanese in the camps. I instructed all the ministers, it is written here, Minister of Defense, National Security, but all the ministers in the security sector, including the Minister of Interior, these are the people who are responsible for this. I want them to create a safe environment throughout the country that would make it would make their movement and activities unthreatened and uninterrupted. They are here to help us, and it is our practical responsibility and moral duty to make sure that they are safe. It deeply pains me to see the people who courageously fought and established this great country finding themselves in need of protection from their own security forces composed of their own sons and daughters and expatriates wherever they are in the country, and avoid our citizens continue to stay in protection of civilian POC sites. I think it is the duty of this House, because all the members who come from where, you know, the people ran to the POCs are here in this House. It is now your turn to talk to these people, to come out from the POCs and go back to their villages. There is nothing they are doing there. Instead, you know, well, I don't want to accuse the special representative of the Secretary General, but well, okay. Because what is being said to be the cause of people running to the POCs is happening there in the POCs. And maybe we have foreign children there in the POCs from the protection forces, that okay. Somebody completed the word. I have had sleepless nights and spend every moment of my day thinking about a South Sudanese child who is hungry in the village. On the economy, sustainability and future prosperity are our national priority. We are experiencing very severe economic difficulties and the hardships affecting so many of our people who deserve better living conditions. However, the goal to change this situation of hardships is our paramount objective at this moment. And to achieve these objectives, we are working tirelessly to increase our oil production so as to enhance the flow of hard currency. We are working on means to improve and control our non-oil revenue collection. These means include the use of our Revenue Authority Bill that we signed into law in 2015. this collection of non-oil revenue, my people, mafrodenu yakun masuliya batana kulana. Lekin finas bamchi bijib hajat ubeji batlub men taxation nenu efa exemption. Unanu arfinu no hajat to be exempted the relief items. Except that that thing is also being abused. Some commercial items are always put there and to be exempted, and let, when they reach to South Sudan, they go to the market. We will investigate into that. Three, to ensure market control mechanisms that would destabilize prices of essential commodities, including the use of subsidies when necessary. Four, road infrastructure is also a key requirement, especially for ferrying goods and commodities to various towns and villages in our country. Plans are already underway to make our roads all-season roads. Five, in order to achieve this, a unified plan has been developed. It's called SEED, South Sudan Extended Economic Development. This development plan includes extensive infrastructure, investment in roads, transportation and electricity, as well as solid financial structure. By ensuring food sustainability and strengthening the foundations of our economy, based on the above mentioned plan, SEED can look forward to a bright future. As part of this broad plan, agricultural expansion, introduction of irrigation systems, and industrial development shall share in a diversified economy. We need a balanced economy. We cannot really rely on the oil-based economy alone. For this plan to succeed, we need international assistance from the World Bank, the African Development Bank, International Monetary Fund, and private sector. The unnatural reality of one country and two armies coexisting side by side is dysfunctional and already proven to be disastrous, as we witnessed during July's tragic event. There will be one national army by May 2017. Last week, I instructed the Chief of General Staff to start the process with the friends in the IO, first providing food and other materials to the sites where the IO would regroup their forces in, whether you call them cantonment areas or you call them assembly areas, it means one thing. After the agreement in Anyanya 1, 1972, we had the assembly areas where the Anyanya forces were ordered to assemble in those places. And that was where they were reorganized and then integrated into the Sudanese army. 2005, when we came here also, we have the assembly areas with the Sudanese army. Sudanese army were shown their places to assemble in and then withdraw from other areas. SPLA also was given places to move to. And this is how we completed the process. Now, when we talk about, you know, containment areas, and then we don't move in, it means that, you know, we will not do it even. So let us hope that the order that has gone to our chief of general staff will also go to his colleagues in the IO, and they will work together so that by May 2017, we will see the results of this army, two armies merging together as one national army.
Listeners to Radio Mirai, this is me, Gabriel Shadar, on Radio Mirai, bringing you live broadcasts from the National Transitional Legislative Assembly.
Matters of recruitment,
and President
training,
still
promotions,
speaking.
Command and missions will be professionally determined and based on merit, not according to ethnic or political affiliations. We are one nation. Our military is a defense force. The military's task includes, among others, assisting the country in all aspects of nation building, economy, agriculture, and infrastructure. With respect to military code of ethics and policy, the military will introduce and commence a broad educational campaign on military conduct with the general public. Before any military assignment, officers and soldiers will be briefed on proper conduct and behavior. Any aberration will be reported immediately and dealt with accordingly. Failure to report would be considered a breach of command responsibility. The military will form a tribunal headed by a general to oversee implementation of this policy. As I mentioned before, and effective immediately, all abuses and sexual assault allegations and incidents involving military personnel will be investigated, and those found responsible will be prosecuted and court-martialed to the fullest extent of the law. Already there are people who have been persecuted, and I think you might have saw those people on the TV. Lastly, there is the issue of guns. There is an abundance of unregistered firearms in the hands of the military and other organized forces, as well as those being held illegally by civilians. We will initiate registration in the military and collect these guns, enforce regulations and the law, and prosecute offenders. The idea of unauthorized civilians carrying weapons is unacceptable, and TGONU will design a strategy and program of comprehensive disarmament. This disarmament will not be forcefully done in all the cases. There will be incentives from the government, and you are asked to come voluntarily with your gun, and you are given an incentive. Those who will refuse to hand over their guns, force will be used against them to collect those weapons. Honorable Speaker, honorable members of the House, ladies and gentlemen, in the coming days and weeks, these principles will become binding guidelines, where appropriate, via legislation transformed into law. Political parties are part and parcel of democracy, but for a country in the process of nation building, they have also been a source of fragmentation, confrontation, and paralysis. I am calling here for the establishment of an inter-political All South Sudan Public Council. Experts from all friends, from all fields, ordinary citizens, from all walks of life, tribal representatives, old and young professionals and students will convene twice a year and engage in a discourse on the direction of the country. This will not eliminate differences, but will create a forum and mechanism to debate them in a civil and an open way. I believe this idea, together with our new policy, which my ministers worked hard to develop, will enable us to set a new course for all, but especially for the children of South Sudan. Honorable Speaker, honorable members, ladies and gentlemen, South Sudan may be an infant in political and historical terms, but have faith together we will succeed in achieving our dream of being one people and one nation. Thank you very much.